Judges chapter 6. You know, I want to look at just a thought here for a few moments, and then I'm going to have you just sort of meditate, chew on that personally, and then we'll have a time of prayer this morning. Now, not all of you were able to be with us last night, but if you were, I hope you remember what our brother preached on. If you weren't, he had us turn to, we were in Joshua, toward the end of the book of Joshua, and he gave us a little history of the book and the children of Israel, Joshua's leadership, and then Joshua's sort of final words as he was getting close to dying. And then we went into the book of Judges, and you saw what happened there, how they were not able to drive out, or they did not drive out by faith, the Canaanites and the people of the land. And we saw that's sort of where we left at. They had gotten comfortable. That was the message last night, gotten comfortable. And he challenged us in many different ways. He gave a personal illustration about Twitter and some social media and some things you say, you know what, God's been working my heart about, and I need to do it. You know, and I think all of us in here, if we're honest, would say we understand what that's like, to where God has been talking to us, the Holy Spirit, God's revealed some things, and we've got this thing, you know, I need to do this, and yet many times we just never do it. And it's sometimes it just sits there, and sometimes it goes for years. I need to stop watching that show. And we know it, but we watch it. Or, you know what, it's time for me to just, and those can go into weeks and months and years and decades, and it bothers us. You know, the Lord's sort of been dealing with me in this area, and I need to do it. I just need to do it. And then we don't do it, many of us. And again, that can be a wide spectrum of whatever it may be. You know, I just need to, I need to drop social media. It's just killing me, and but I don't do it. And so I keep going back to it, and I just waste time, and it just doesn't help. Or I need to talk to pastor, and it's time for me to get, time for me to start doing this or take this over, or be a man, whatever it may be. We know those things a lot of times as men, and the Holy Spirit's, but we just don't do it. And so that was, we get comfortable. And so I want to just take that. And again, the Lord laid this passage in my heart several days before the retreat, before I'd even met Brother Reed in person. We never certainly ever discussed what he's preaching, what I'm preaching. And so the Lord just sort of solidified my heart. This is what I want you to share. And I really do think it dovetails with Lat's nice message. So Judges chapter 6, you're there by now. And if you'll glance at it here, you'll see that this is our introduction to Gideon. Gideon, a fairly well-known Bible character. And most of the time, if you ask someone about Gideon, unless you're new to the Bible, and that's fine, most of us would be familiar. Okay, Gideon, we think about Sunday school class, or we're younger, and we know the little chorus about who'll be a Gideon, or we're familiar with that story that appeals to us as guys or young men and teens about, oh boy, the 300 and the trumpet and the sword of the Lord and Gideon and the lamp and the, boy, and that miraculous victory of just 300 over the Midianites, and you know that, and that's coming up. That's chapter 7, and boy, that incredible, wow, that's just, wow, awesome, you know, that just thrills your heart. And sometimes we'll know about the fleece, and we'll talk about the fleece where he wasn't trusting the Lord and all those kind of things, and he wanted some signs and all of that. But I want to look at something that sometimes is overmissed, and it doesn't mean that you don't. Many of you probably men that have preached on this, and you've read it, but I want to just, something that God has laid on my heart. So let's just look at the beginning here a little bit, and we'll get to the verses I want to focus on for the devotion. So at the beginning of Judges chapter 6, this would be a little coming up after last night's message, decades later, but by now we looked at this. You know, they've disobeyed, they've not driven out the heathen, the Canaanites. God has allowed the different groups there, Midianites, Moabites, Philistines, whatever, to overcome them, to empower them, to enslave them. And so you see that there at the beginning of chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. And you can read about all the things that happened, and they were enslaved, and they'd come upon the land, all the farming and the agriculture. Verse 4, and they, the Midianites, encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. I mean, just completely. So you're just living as slaves, you're hiding, you don't have much of anything. It's just a terrible 7-year stretch. God sends a prophet, the people cry out, verse 7, and we're introduced to Gideon in verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah. that pertained, the idea is the land and the tree were on the land of Joash, the Abizanite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, we're not going to look at all this. Many of us have probably taught and preached this, and it can be quite humorous here. You know, okay, God comes, the Lord, angel of the Lord comes to this young man. We're never told his age. Could be a teen, could be in his 20s. We have no idea. And says to him, the first words out, the Lord Jehovah is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, I'll take a look at Gideon's response, verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where do all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So you say, where's that valor and courage? I mean, he's, look at all this. And why is all this happening? And the Lord, verse 14, looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Verse 15. And he, Gideon, said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Boy, if you read this, it's quite... The Lord's very gracious and merciful and kind, and Gideon's not very courageous, not very trusting, thinking only of himself, and back and forth. And it keeps going back and forth. And finally, Gideon, verse 17, says, well, give me a sign. I need to know that, all right, if I'm not sure exactly who you are. Maybe he's not sure who this guy is. Is he an angel? Is he a prophet? But show me a sign that, you know, it's God speaking to me. And here's the test. And Gideon says, verse 18, well, don't leave, don't depart from me, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring my present. And he, the angel of the Lord, said, I will wait, I'll tarry here. Verse 19, and Gideon went up. And by the way, I think this took place over hours. So a lot of times we read the Bible and it's boom, boom, boom. But notice verse 19, Gideon goes in, he makes ready a kid, he prepares a feast, a meal, a stew, unleavened cakes, and he basically gets a meal together, puts it in the pot, brings it to him. And again, and the angel of the Lord says, put it here on the rock. I'm paraphrasing quickly. In verse 21, the angel of the Lord took the end of the staff and touched the meat, touched the flesh and unleavened cakes. And boy, they just... just were consumed, and boy, boom, and then all of a sudden the angel was gone. Verse 22, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizanites. All right, now, so there's your introduction there. You say, and there's a lot in there, and you could read that and get a lot of stuff out of there, and there's tremendous truths. And my point this morning is not to make anything deep out of that, and that's a tremendous passage to go back and read. But you read that, and you say, Gideon's not very... He's not very courageous in any way. He's not really showing anything here at all. In fact, he's sort of disappointed. If that was me speaking to him instead of the angel of the Lord as a pastor, I'd be like, hey, yay, yay. All right. Come on, buddy. I'm trying to, you know, all right, I'll go find somebody else. But the Lord is merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. And finally, Gideon's like, okay. Wow, I've seen the Lord. I built the altar here. Wow. But I want to come, the next passage is what I want to focus on. Verse 25. So way before the battle of the 300, way before the 32,000 men that have to be whittled down, way before Gideon becomes known for Gideon, there's something else that comes before that big step he had to take, and that's the Lord coming to him and giving him the small step. The small step that's sometimes the hardest to take. And I want us to look at that here, and this is our devotional. Verse 25, and it came to pass the same night. The same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock. Remember, there was really no animals around, so this is fairly precious. Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Whoa. The Lord comes to Gideon that night. Says, here's what I want you to do. Your father has an altar to Baal. And there's a grove of trees around it, which is tied in with that worship. I want you to go knock that altar down. I want you to cut that grove down. I want you to take your father's bullock, maybe the only one in the village, verse 26, and I want you to build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And I want you to take that second bullock and I want you to kill it and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. This is your dad. Obviously a leader, an elder in the village. Appears that he's the one that erected the altar to Baal. And then the center of worship is right there. Your father's property. And that's maybe the bullock that's being saved for a sacrifice coming up. I want you, Gideon, I want you to take your father's bullock. I want you to knock down the altar to Baal. I want you to cut down the grove of trees. I want you to take the wood from that grove, and I want you to build an altar to me, Jehovah. And I want you to take that wood to start a fire, and I want you to kill that bullock, and I want you to put an altar sacrifice to me. Now, men, if that was you, what would you and I do? Now, we love the story that comes next. Yeah, Gideon, store Lord and Gideon. I wish the Lord would come and have me do that. Well, look what he had him do first. It's called it. Let's see if you're going to do this. Let's see if you're going to be willing to obey. Let's see if you really do believe that was me, because you built an altar and said, Jehovah Shalom. I've seen God. Whoa, I'm convinced that's God. I was speaking to me. Whoa, and he gave me some promises that I'm going to be able to take out the Midianites and save Israel. And God says, let's see if you believe that. I've got a task for you. We might call this a small task. Not small, but it's certainly smaller than what he was coming up later. Well, what did Gideon do? Verse 27. Then Gideon, I get a kick out of this a little bit, because didn't he just say, he's one of the poorest of all the, got nothing. 10 of his servants, all right? So apparently his father was doing a little better than he acted like, all right? Took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. So he did do it. I don't know how he did it. I'd love to have seen it. Well, pretty quietly, maybe. Guys. But look at the next verse, verse 28. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. The idea here is maybe this was the day they were going to do this, and they're getting ready to do their, oh my goodness. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. So somebody saw him, somebody knew, somebody talked. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, this is dad, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Always remarkable, his father's response. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If Baal be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Well, if Baal's so powerful, how come they let him? He let him cut down his altar. Let him plead for himself. Therefore, verse 32, it's our last verse. On that day, he called him, Gideon, Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down his altar. Remarkable. A lot of truths we could draw out of this, especially about father. But I just want to go back and I want to challenge you men here. I want you to chew on this little passage, and I really want you to chew primarily on verses 25 to 32. I know we can learn a lot earlier. There's a lot of neat things there to get us, and that could be for another time. But I really want you to just spend some time, just you personally, between verses 25 and 32, and I want you to ask yourself this question, and I want you to ask the Lord this question, if you mean it with sincerity. The question that Saul of Tarsus asked the Lord when he appeared to him, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Is there anything you are wanting me to do? Or you may already know it. The Lord has come to you and said, do this. And you've yet not done it. I need to do this. I know I need to do this. I've known it forever. I've not yet. It's time to get rid of all that music. I know, but it's just memories. It's my youth. It's what we did back in the day. A lot of money invested in that. A lot of people, get rid of those. You fill in the blank. And that may not always be a get rid of. It could be, do this. It's time to be a member. I'm going to get baptized. It's time to announce your call to preach. It's time to go to your wife. It's time to go to your parents. It's time to quit holding on to your things you were raised with. Why not? But this is dad's. This is dad stuff. This is how I was raised. This culture. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. It's time to break away from that, Gideon. Let's see if you'll obey me. Let's see if you'll really believe me. Because without this, I don't believe there's chapter 7 or 8. All right, Gideon. You say you believe me. You say I'm God. You say I can do anything. I'm giving you a task. I want you to knock down that altar. I want you to do it right now. In humility. All right, God, I believe you. I'm going to obey you. Maybe scared and trembling the whole way through it, but I'm going to do it. What is it the Lord would have you do? Now, maybe right now, the Lord, everything's great. Praise God. You say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord just says right now, just keep on going in humility. Don't get proud. But the Lord may very well. And so if the Lord has some, or maybe last night, even in the first message last night, or you've known it, why don't you write those down just personally? All right. Could be one thing. It could be a whole list. Oh, wow. Wow. I want you to think if Gideon wrote down what he had to do. That's my dad. I mean, my father. There's no way. And we start getting all those objections, right? The flesh. All the objections that keep us from focusing on God. I know, but it's not going to happen. And so the question is, will you believe God? And do you believe God? And will you obey Him? Young men and older men. Seasoned believers. Pastors, me. Right here, starting with this guy. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Is there anything you want me to do?